In this week's Nutrition and Life episode, I speak with executive wellness, fulfillment, and purpose specialist Jamie Sharla, who brings emotional and mental wealth to high achievers. Jamie and I speak about how to have hard conversations to create better connections and how we can change our perspective to experience a different reality. I'm excited for you to listen to my conversation with Jamie, and please, if you enjoy the show, subscribe and give us a rating or take a screenshot and share the episode on your social media. Thank you so much. Now on to my conversation with Jamie. Hello and welcome back to the Nutrition and Life podcast. My name is Lisa. I'm your host. And today I have the pleasure of speaking with executive wellness, fulfillment, and purpose specialist, Jamie Sharla. Welcome to the show, Jamie.
Hello, everybody. And Lisa, thank you so much for having me today.
My true pleasure. I'm so excited to talk about all things fulfillment, purpose, and so on today. I read in your mission statement that you are here to bring emotional and mental wealth to high achievers, and that is such a wonderful thing to be doing here on Earth. So thank you for everything that you do. But before we get more into the specifics of what it is that you do, I want to hear more about you and how you got to where you are today.
Perfect. I've luckily mastered a very short version of this story. But I have a very diverse resume personally and professionally. And a lot of what fueled me was this sense of I had to work really hard. I had good addictions and bad addictions to healthy things and unhealthy things. And it very much led me into burnout and being the one who was trying to take care of everybody else, but then never feeling fulfilled in what I was doing. I felt very alone. And I'm like, why am I even here? Why am I even doing this? And chasing after this level of success, I felt like I never reached it. And so kind of in my own journey at a very young age of 26, well, I was actually 2 months before turning 26, I developed a massive kidney infection that put me on bed rest for a week because of just my body functioning on absolute fumes. And that was my one of many come to Jesus moments. Like, what I'm doing is not working. And it catapulted me into the mental fitness journey, if you will. So I've played sports and I've coached sports all throughout my life, but the mental work is hard, especially when it's more of like the emotional and dealing with the internal version of you that nobody ever sees or experiences. And many times you don't even let yourself experience. And so when I learned how to get in the ring with my own demons and start working through that and learning how to train my own mental muscles rather than using, again, good and bad things as coping mechanisms, life got a whole lot better. And I created a lot better habits and thought processes that allowed me to find more fulfillment in my life while I was able to still take advantage of the work ethic that I had instilled at a young age.
Wonderful. And now you're teaching other people the same thing, essentially, I assume. I always find it fascinating how the best coaches are born out of their own struggles, or it just makes us be able to relate to our clients a lot better. I also like what you said about many people, like, I guess you or I, I'm going to categorize us sort of as like type A, you know, our hard work ethic and discipline and so on. It gets us so far. So I think the people that completely say, hey, you need to move away from that entirely, I think that that's wrong because there is something good in that. But yeah, I would say generally our type of people, we have a hard time allowing ourselves feeling our feelings. And you were saying exactly that. So I'm really curious, what is your first step when you start working with people like us to get them to allow themselves to feel their feelings more?
Great question. And yes, very much the type A, those are who I thrive with, both men and women. There's a couple of different starting points. One thing I always like to say is that I don't believe anybody's broken and it's not my job to fix them. I am not a therapist. I'm a coach. So I'm here to kind of take what we're working with and be able to establish a game plan to change the trajectory of where we're going. And so kind of first and foremost, I very much have to qualify somebody that like, are you truly ready and willing to put in the work? And I feel like it's the same from a nutrition and a fitness thing, right? Like, you say you want to lose 25 pounds, but are you really willing to do the very things that you would have to do to get yourself there, right? So similar to this, like you say you're miserable, you say you're running on fumes, you say you feel stuck, you say that you're lonely. Are you truly ready and willing to put the work in to having to go there and not just run from, because that's the other thing is type A's. It's like, hey, we're really good at working and we can justify how we can find temporary highs out of being able to chase little micro wins along the way because of the way that we hustle. But if you're not really willing to slow down and actually sit and get to know you and experience you in that way, it's a disservice to myself and them. So that would kind of be step one, but very much the very first thing that we dive into is like, what is it that you actually want? Like, not what the world is telling you that you want. Like, let's make time to just sit with you. Who are you? Who aren't you? Are you still holding on to something that 10, 15-year-old ago version of you was saying that you wanted? Does that actually apply to now? Like slowing people down. I know it sounds so insanely simple, but that's, I'm sure from the fitness and nutrition aspect, you see that all the time is the world is overcomplicating these concepts. And it's a matter of just slowing down and allowing us to get back to the basics or actually learn the basics.
And yeah, I can imagine that many people also, and I'm saying that because that's what I did, simply follow the steps in what they think they should be doing. They should be chasing the path that's kind of like laid out for them by society, their parents, or whatever, until we, as you say, stop and pause and ask ourselves, like, is this actually what I want? Or is this what my parents wanted for me? Or is that what I think my parents want of me, or is that what, you know? So I think that's often a crucial point.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, and a few things that I read on your content, because you have wonderful content on your Instagram, and you also say you have a brilliant course which is titled Building Better Boundaries, which I want to hear more about later on. But before we do so, one point that you mentioned on there is just the point of vulnerability. And I actually was listening to a podcast a couple of days ago, which was kind of like for leaders or executives as well. And someone said on there, you know, you should share, or you should ask your employees on a regular basis what you can do better, where they think your weaknesses are, and so on. And then one of the CEOs responded, but I don't want them to see my weaknesses. And the coach in that instance responded, well, I have a secret for you. They already know. They just don't know that you want to know or that you want to work on them. So I think vulnerability can get us really, really far. And you m make that a big topic as well. Why do you think vulnerability is so important?
Because it's real, you know. Even prior to the big C word when COVID hit, right? Like, we all have been hiding behind a mask and showing one version of us to the world. And even to those that we are cohabitating with, that we call our spouses, our kids, you know, friends and family, like we've always been putting up this facade. And then social media has kind of increased that, where it's like we are living life through a filter. We're living life through highlight reels. And quite literally, like, and even just the shift that is happening within social media, anytime you jump on, you're more likely to get stopped dead in your tracks on somebody like sharing a very deep, meaningful thing that is making them uncomfortable because it's real, it's raw, it's relatable. And, you know, especially like within a workspace like that, and that's something that I see all the time is like you trying to act like you have it all together. One is instilling fear and a lack of trust within your employees, your teammates, whoever. But also it's not giving them the opportunity to feel that they're allowed to share that either. So the culture is now continuing to make us feel that like we have to act like we have it together all the time, and then we have to hold it in here all the time. And then that's where the spiral happens or burnout.
Yeah, and the holding it in, I think that's really something that's blocking people's creativity as well. It's blocking people's ability to connect with people on even not just like outside of the work setting. I mean, as well, if you're working with an executive and they have issues finding love, it could be for the same reason that they're just generally closed off to anybody. And yeah, another point that you mentioned on your social media is that we should embrace hard conversations more often because they do lead to those better connections, but they're so difficult to have. I'll be the first one to
Absolutely.
admit. So I'm divorced or I've been divorced for several years, and one of the big things I have learned is that my communication skills were absolutely atrocious back in the day. I mean, there's always two people in a relationship,
Right.
sure, but we were both equally horrible at communicating our needs, what we wanted, and so on. So I was brought up also with this image from my parents that if it's uncomfortable, if it's hard, you just avoid it. Like one person either leaves until someone ex explodes or like cold shoulder that like horrible. But yeah, how do we get better? Is there like strategies or step by steps to how to get better at having hard conversations?
So it's not going to be some profound answer. It's just do it. Like you have to just rip the band-aid and at least try it. And like also like think about it. Like when you were a baby and you were learning how to crawl or how to walk, it's not like, oh shoot, I fell over. You know what? This whole walking thing just isn't for me. Like I'm good. No, like the determination, because you know the fruit that lies on the other side of it. And that is what I think that we need to keep in mind when doing that, because I have a quote for everything. But one that just came to mind as you said that is, just because something's normal doesn't mean it's good. And so the normal version of the world is telling us, let's just sweep that under the rug. We'll just pretend everything's okay. So a lot of households, because mine was very much that too. But then now you tie in this layer of social media where all you have to do, and I apologize to anybody listening if this is you, because I know that my intention is in the right place when I say this, but all you have to do is manifest. And when you focus and attract all of the good that you have, life is going to be easy. That is false. Like good and bad is coexisting always at the same time, from the beginning of time until the end of time. That is always going to be a thing. And so when you can shift that perspective, which that's my specialty, is training brains. When we can learn to train our thoughts and think something different, we can now create a different outcome. And our normal can become good of, hey, this wasn't fun to have this conversation, but now that I did, it feels a whole lot better, because now we're both being vulnerable and now we trust one another. And now we can air out whatever's happening and we can resolve it rather than like waiting for a big blowout to happen or a big burnout to happen or complete spiral and fail to happen.
Yeah, I love everything that you say, and I can personally totally agree with that from experience because over the last 5, 6 years since then, I felt like every single hard conversation that I've quote unquote forced myself to have, even if it wasn't the desired outcome that I headed into the conversation with, I grew from that. So
Yeah.
everything, every time I try to relate it back to like the gym or whatever, every time, you know, it's hard. I can afterwards, the outcome is I'm gonna adapt and grow from it. And as you say, as long as we have in mind, this is something good for us. This is something that actually makes us grow, as opposed to always just staying in our comfort zone and talking about the fluffy things like, oh, the sun is out, blah blah, boring. You know, that's not how we're gonna grow and how our relationships are going to deepen either.
Yeah. Another thing that just came to mind as you said that too is another quote. If you want to have an easy life, do hard things. If you want to have a hard life, do easy things. So the choice is yours. And in that, you're going to choose your heart. Either your life is going to be a struggle because of it, or life can be good because you chose to instill those habits of doing hard things.
Totally. I love that quote, and it also brings me to another thing that I struggle with, and that is just letting go of control and certainty. And I know that you also speak about that, how that just creates more space. And I, again, like I have a personal anecdote to this because I was actually trying, almost one might say forcing, trying to force anyway, to get a visa here for, or long-term visa for Colombia. And I was working with lawyers and blah blah, and in the end I was forced to leave the country momentarily and head to Bolivia, and I actually ended up loving my time in Bolivia, and I was like, oh my gosh, I never would have come here ever, like, if the thing in Colombia would have worked out so easily. So that was a big lesson for me to just, like, when I think I have a good plan for something, letting go and letting the universe, God, whatever, take over, and seeing that they actually have a better plan for me very often.
Yeah, and I think that that's as a recovering control freak myself, which again, that's I think going back to a point that we were discussing earlier is that, like, don't get me wrong, like I don't believe that. I think there's power in having that experience yourself, and I don't believe in the Me Too movement. Like, oh, just like I can do it, and now you can do it too, and this is how I did it. Like, no, that's not how it works. But I do think that there is something different about working with somebody or seeking guidance, mentorship, whatever, from somebody who has experienced it. Because saying it is one thing, actually experiencing it is another. So, with that though, I think it's been interesting in my own journey of learning how to let go that, because I stood by that statement. I can only control what I can control. And I tried my best to control everything that was in my control. And what I found in burning out from that sense of control is how little of control even that is, right? Where it was like for building a business, I'm like, I can control how many people I reach out to. I can control how the follow-up goes. I can control my conversation. I can control this, 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 and this. Yes, and that's important. But there are still other people involved on that that have to follow suit. Life still happens where I could get freaking sideswiped on the side of the road by another vehicle that I can't control, even if I chose to control the fact of leaving early enough so I had enough time to get somewhere. Like my health, I can be proactive into, taking care of my mind, body, and soul. But if randomly I wake up someday and I have cancer, that is out of my control. And so I think just like, when you realize that the amount of control that you have is even so very little, like that's when you can finally like let go of the grip.
Yeah, and then the co-creation really starts, I think, because so often when we are in that controlled mode, we are also, at least I find, we're standing in our own way. We're not as flexible. Like, an opportunity might come along and you're like, oh no, I've already scheduled something for that week, I can't take that. Or we just put up blind spots, and I think once we're allowing ourselves to co-create, it's just the magic starts happening.
Yeah. Well, and think about how like miserable that can feel sometimes, because if you are trying to control something that much, you are very fixated on the expected outcome. And when we set expectations and they're not met, that doesn't feel good. Right. So it's like when you can loosen your expectations, I think it is still good to have expectations and to work hard and to follow some people do all those things. But like when you learn to let go of that expectation, you ended up in Bolivia where it was flipping phenomenal and you were able to embrace an entire different experience because something did that did not go according to plan. Right. And so I think that's super important.
Yeah, speaking of quotes, I actually listened to a quote yesterday, and I'm not 100% sure I agree with it yet, but I would like to hear your thoughts. And that was actually, happiness is reality minus expectations. And yeah, I'm not sure, because I, like, to your point, I do think it's still good to have expectations, but then to release them and to be like, okay, whether they happen or not, I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I think I'd want to sit with that too, because instantly, like right when you started going with that, I very much believe that like happiness is a choice, but I think it's also like you choose your reality, which if you choose your reality, you would also kind of in a way be anticipating an expectation, if that makes sense. So, although it's great to come up with a formula, I think it is kind of all goes hand in hand. Like, yes, because it's your perception is your reality. But I think still at the end of the day is like you choosing, because that's a big thing. I actually just did a wellness retreat, a presentation over the weekend for a wellness retreat. And that was my opening part to my presentation. It's from the book, The Power of Now. And when I first heard this, I absolutely was so bothered by it. But they asked the question in the book, do you control your thoughts or do your thoughts control you? And I'm like, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Of course my thoughts control me. Like I can control what I think. Like once it's there, it just kind of pops up. Like that's all that happens. But then when I sat with a quote long enough and I realized like, no, if I can choose what thoughts to hold captive and to run with, and which ones I'm gonna be like, yeah, we're not doing that. That's when the game changed. And I think again, it's the world is constantly trying to sell us on all the reasons why we're like happy or all the reasons why we're not, when I just think that there's still so much more to it than just, hey, I'm here to live a happy life. I think it's, I want to live a full life, because I even have a tattoo, again, another quote, without struggle, there is no progress. I honestly can stand here today and say there have been some of the most god-awful things that have happened in my life that quite literally put me into a position that I wanted to end my life. I attempted to end my life. And I don't regret a single part of it, because it made me who I am today. It gave me the opportunity to now be healing to other people because I can relate to that. And don't get me wrong, I would never go back and be like, hey, I would love to experience that all over again. But like, what a blessing those hardships were, because it made me appreciate life. It made me appreciate the things that I had and that I do have. And so I think just being able to embrace the good and bad and know that this is all part of the human experience, that's how you can achieve. And I still don't want to go back, because I feel like I'm a big believer in my faith. And so one of the things that says the fruits of the spirit or the gifts that God has given you is joy, not happiness, joy, peace, a sound mind. Like we have those right now if we choose to just focus and sit in that. And so I think to just chalk it all up that like my goal is to be happy, missing so much on what the world and what life has to offer.
Yeah, and I also think like that pursuit of constant happiness is so unrealistic, because if there's no valleys and we're not going to be able to see the highs, it doesn't work. So yeah, I'm a big fan of the book The Power of Now. Eckhart Tolle is as well really, really great. And that actually like also leads into another thing that you talk about, and that's kind of how a change in perspective or change of scenery and so on can often help us just gain a new gain more clarity or new perspective on things. What exactly do you mean by that? Do you mean like generally literally a physical change in scenery, so going somewhere else, or is it more doing something different, or all the things combined?
I would definitely say it's a combination, because very much like that was actually one of my takeaways from this last year was, because I have worked so very, to me it's crucial, like for integrity's sake, like I am determined to always be a product of my own product. Like I will never be that coach that will tell somebody to do something that I would never do. And so I'm always pursuing the best version of myself, to the point of like, you know, and even with boundaries and all of those things of being able to position yourself around the right people and in the environments that are healthy and best help you thrive. But I think there is something so powerful to get outside of that environment and to step into one that maybe you used to be in and see how much growth have you really made, because are you able to still move forward like being in that, or is that going to trigger you and suck you back in? Like, are you just running away to a different environment because it feels good? You're justifying that everything is good, or are you truly like allowing yourself to build the strength and the ability to be in different environments and know how to still maintain at peace within that? So I think very much like your physical environment is part of that. But I have my own podcast as well. And I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, the episode that I released is Try Looking at It Another Way. Have you ever seen the movie? And I don't even, obviously, you don't have to mention how old you are, but growing up as a kid, one of the movies that we, or I always at least watch, was James and the Giant Peach. Have you ever heard of it?
I have heard of it, but I haven't watched it.
Okay. So it's great. I love it. It's about this kid who's in a super messed up situation. His parents die. He has to go live with his like evil aunts, and he like runs away, but he ends up like eating this magical worm that puts him in this big, big peach, and all of his best friends are like insects and stuff like this. And he's trying to get to New York City to run away from his aunts. And in that, there's a part where there's like this big rhino, like that's the main beast throughout the whole storyline that's trying to kill him, just like it did his parents. And yes, this is a kid movie, by the way. And so there's an end towards the scene, or a scene towards the end of the movie, kind of a slight spoiler alert, but he's in this peach and there's this massive storm while they're like floating out in the ocean. And this rhino, this big thunderstorm starts coming at him. And he's like freaking out and like wanting to retract back to everything. And his friend, the scorpion or the grasshopper, I forget which one it was, but he like yelled down to him while they're trying to control the peach in the ocean. And he's like, James, try looking at it another way. And so James like closes his eyes and he gets angry and he's like, Rhino, I'm not afraid of you. And he's like reflecting back on these other things that he kind of overcame on his journey in this peach. And the rhino ends up like he defeats, or the rhino goes away and loses its power. And so I think that that's the other thing that I always try to do, is I love to challenge people, even myself, is that if I am set that this is the perspective, I think changing the environment mentally of being like, but what else could be true? What is another way that I could perceive this? Is this really my reality, or is this really how I'm going to accept this, or what else can I be thinking about this situation? Hopefully that answers your question. I know that was a
Yeah,
side
totally. And
tangent.
I think that is specifically to me personally, like at least that came up specifically helpful when it comes to dealing with anxiety and anxious feelings, as so many of us are doing, because we suffer so much more in our minds than what the reality usually is. Like, I don't know, probably less than 1% of the time, the true outcome is as bad as we map it out to be. So if we tell ourselves, like, okay, what's the actual evidence of that happening? Or what's the actual evidence of this turning out so badly? And when we look at it more factually or from multiple perspectives, as you say, we probably realize like how silly we actually sound in our own head.
Yes. And that's again why, going back to what we were talking earlier about how my step one is like, let's slow down and let's actually like sit with what we're thinking. Because in our brain, and it's just racking over and over again while we're going through the whirlwind of life with all these other thoughts, we don't slow down enough to actually realize that this thing that is eating away at us is actually super silly. And then we take its power away. Can I give you a slight tip? And then
Yeah,
potentially this is one
please.
that could be okay.
Absolutely.
And this is something that hopefully could be powerful to anybody else who's listening. Because I have a lot of clients who come to me. Like, I don't specialize in anxiety, but anxiety is a very strong emotion that a lot of people experience and that I work with. And one thing that I always like to say is, similar to how we hear within the wellness space of like, there's no such thing as good and bad food. Like, food is food, right? I think, although it's amazing that we are becoming so much more aware with like mental health and being vulnerable and talking about it, sometimes we almost put too much emphasis on the bad emotions, the negative emotions. And how my perspective, and how I like to share this with people, is I don't believe that there's such thing as good or bad emotions either. Because what a gift that we have the emotion of anxiety to tell us that something's wrong. It's meant to protect us. Imagine I eat a piece of raw chicken and my stomach starts to hurt and I vomit. Thank God my body was able to do that. So this raw chicken didn't stay inside my body. I'm not going to be mad at my body for vomiting a raw piece of chicken, right? So we shouldn't get frustrated or discouraged with ourselves when we're feeling anxiousness or depression. It's like, let's sit with that. Like, what is this really trying to tell me? And I think when you can approach it from a space of curiosity rather than discouragement, because you think there's something wrong with you for feeling that, again, you take its power away, you learn more about yourself, and then it's easier to overcome.
I love that. Thank you so much for that tip.
You're
It's
welcome.
definitely something, yeah, learning, not just sitting with the feelings, but also stopping to label them and just being curious. I think that that's a really, really great recommendation.
Yeah.
And one other thing that I'm curious or want to hear more about in terms of your approach, and I know you have a lot of information on it because your course, Building Better Boundaries, is literally about that. But I'm so such a proponent of learning to say no more often and getting stronger with our boundaries. Do you have any practical tips for us, or what made you even want to make that into a course?
Yes, great question. So I love talking about boundaries. I was always kind of very much a, even if you would talk to anybody in my family, like I was known as the pit bull, like because of just that type A driver personality. Like I kind of was on the opposite side of the spectrum where, like, yeah, right, there's no way that you were going to walk all over me. Like I had no problem like shutting things down. So I'm not going to say that I was always good at boundaries, but I think that just what I have found very much, and again, that's another thing that has become such a trending topic. So many people don't even know what a boundary is. We hear it, we think it sounds good. It's kind of like if you were to read a word you don't see very often in a book, and it's like it made sense when you read the sentence, but then I asked you, like, hey, what does that word actually mean? And then all of a sudden you can't define the word. You're like, well, in my head it makes sense. So I just don't know how to put it into words. That's how people are approaching boundaries. So it's like you're now using your boundary as a scapegoat. To be like, oh no, I have boundaries and this is why I'm not going to do what I'm going to do. But then, one, you're probably going to do it anyways because you don't even actually know what a boundary is. And then from there, if you don't even know what it is, how can you properly define a boundary or establish and create a boundary, let alone actually commit to withholding that boundary? So I
Yeah,
think step
I've
one is genuinely learning what a boundary actually is.
never even thought about that, but that's so true. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for me personally, if I like on the spot had to think about like how I would define a boundary, probably something or some rules that I install for myself to keep me aligned with my values and my priorities and protect myself from other people and their energy, or things that I don't want to do. That's a really long definition.
Yes. But see, exactly. So again, it's like this is what's it's crazy of like just my approach to a lot of things is like I'm not here to complicate anything anymore. Like let's simplify. Like let's even actually sit with what it means. And then it's like, is that an accurate meaning? And then okay, now that I know this, what am I going to do with this information so I can go apply it? I'm a big believer that how we do one thing is how we do all things. So
Totally,
if
totally.
we struggle with that in our lives, because again, to circle back to something that we discussed earlier in the episode of this, is people who are really, really good and like striving well within their work, right? Because that's their, as like I like to call their drug of choice, but their relationships are suffering, like their personal ones, and they're feeling lonely. Well, guess what? You're actually feeling really lonely in your job. It's just you're leaning in and you're like getting high off the power you have over other people because you're not connected to those people either. So how you're not being vulnerable to the people at work, you don't know how to because you don't even know how to do it with the people you live with.
Yeah, wow. Eye-opening, no, for sure. So, okay, once we've established what a boundary means to that person or to ourselves, how do we then start implementing the right ones as opposed to just generally adapting, oh, I can never go out at this time, or I'm always, I'm not going to let that person talk to me like this anymore, or so.
Great question. So actually that's something that is in my boundaries course is, and I hate being this person because I feel like this is like even me saying this, I feel salesy because I don't like that. But I actually did, I created a 6-step process that literally like how the 6 steps you go through in creating a boundary, how you establish it, how you live out that boundary. And then it always circles back to step one. And all
Okay.
the steps are interchangeable. So that is something I very much have implemented to simplify the process for people to be able to actually establish a boundary. One thing I don't think I mentioned in the course that I would love to also say here, though, because this is a very debatable topic. Boundaries very much are hard lines, but I think that, and this has been in my own growth journey as well, too. So I'm not just speaking for other people, but also myself, is establishing boundaries could also lead to a lot of isolation and loneliness. Because if everything becomes a boundary and you put a wall blocking everybody out and everything is something that you're not willing to budge on, like I don't necessarily believe that a boundary is something like 100% of the time accurate to have. And
I would agree with that.
yeah, Coach Jamie 3 years ago would have not said that. I actually didn't say that to some of my clients. But I think we are also still human. And the more that we grow and we learn about ourselves and we learn about other people, we can be more confident in discerning when and how to apply boundaries. Because in certain seasons or in certain situations, we may have to slightly alter those boundaries. I know that's a side tangent, but that's at least
No,
a
I love that
disclaimer that I do want to
absolutely because
mention.
I tend to be quite strict with my bedtime. And I would say that 99.9% of the time it serves me really well. But every now and then I struggle with allowing myself to say like, okay, Lisa, just because it's 9 o'clock now and you can stay a little bit longer, you're having a good time, you know? There's nothing like super extreme that you need to get up for tomorrow at 5 a.m. It can also be 5:30. So loosen up a little bit. But I do also think that sometimes when we start implementing a new boundary or several, because I think often they kind of go hand in hand.
I like that.
As you said, like we might reach a little bit of a period of isolation or where we feel even lonelier. And I think sometimes that is necessary in order to break out of an old cycle before we find our new tribe. So sitting in that lonely chapter period thing where we're just like, okay, I don't belong there anymore. I haven't found my new tribe yet. I do think that that is sometimes important.
1,000%. There is power in isolation, and there is power in being alone. I actually did a case study last year where I like went through and I asked everybody, like, scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most and one being the least, where would you rank your loneliness level? And majority of people gave me a 3 or 4, saying it wasn't very much, and they're like, I don't have enough time to be alone. And I'm like, ooh, you see how you just interchanged two totally different words that you assumed a meaning on, right? And so I think that it is necessary, especially the world that we're in, that you need to know how to isolate. But I think that this is also the caveat here. Being alone doesn't mean, hey, I'm choosing to just lay in bed and scroll on my phone and not be around other people, because you are still being influenced by whatever it is and the noise that is distracting you. The power, because actually, I'm going to try something here real quick. How are you feeling right now? Was it like
Yes,
awkward for a second?
a little bit. Like it's kind of building up.
So for sake of people, in case this is an audio thing too, where they aren't thinking that the episode like went out, that's why I didn't do it as long. But notice how uncomfortable that got, to literally have a moment of silence where you didn't just, hey, I have to go do this. Hey, there's this background playing. Hey, I'm going to check this off while I'm multitasking here. People get uncomfortable in silence, and that is not how it should be. Stillness is good. And for all my type A workaholics that I work with, that is a thing that we have to train to learn how to be comfortable with. Once you get comfortable, then that's where a lot of that growth and the breakthrough can happen, but you have to be willing to actually sit in stillness. So that's the power there. If you're going to isolate, how are you choosing to spend that isolation?
Really, really great tip. And I've definitely gone through some learning with that. And I'm still working on that, sitting with the stillness, especially as I try to get better at podcasting as well, you know, using breaks in a efficient way or in an intended way. And then also learning that in the past when I was just trying to blah, 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 speak, it was often because I was afraid otherwise I would lose people's attention because I wasn't given that attention as a child, unless I kept on talking, you know, you're like, here, I'm still here, I'm still here. And so, like,
The
learning where
fillers.
it comes from. Yes. Well, Jamie, I would love to hear to finish off with, if you generally do like retreats like the one that you just hosted regularly and kind of what the theme of it was. It sounded very interesting.
Yes, so I actually have teamed up with a couple of other amazing female founders here in the Austin area. And the founder of this, her name is Keosha Flounders. And so she launched this. It's called Restore Wellness Retreats, but they were all virtual retreats. So we had just kicked off our first one on Saturday, and we will be doing them quarterly. So those are retreats that we have. I took a little bit of a break from it, but I used to run yearly or an annual wellness retreats in the country of Panama. So that is something that could be on the books for the foreseeable future again. But yeah, right now, definitely this restored wellness retreat has been with a couple of other people that's very much specific in the space of like founders who are maybe just struggling with finding restoration in their entrepreneurial journey. So like even with this, our concept was learning how to be well and do well, but we had to learn how to simply be first. So that was kind of what this last one was about.
Wonderful. I will make sure to look it up and put it also in the show notes along with all your other social media and the link to your boundaries course, because I think that's going to be very helpful to a lot of the listeners. So thank you so much for your time for coming on here. I truly appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Lisa. I appreciate it.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Jamie. Thank you so much for tuning in. Go and give us both a follow on Instagram or YouTube. And one more thing before you go, if you are looking for premium supplements, our partner Fat Muscle Project has got you covered. Head to their website for the best protein powders, creatine, vitamin D, and more, and feel free to use our code NCL at the checkout. Thank you for listening, and don't forget, life is too short to be in a body you don't feel good in.